And this morning I wanted to challenge you, dads, in the area of prayer. That is my passion and that is my heart. I believe that we are in desperate days right now. I believe that not just in this nation, but I believe that the role of a man is being attacked. I believe that we are watching the spiritual and the moral degradation, if you will, of the family. And I believe with all my heart that it is a day when God is calling men to love Him with all their hearts, minds, and their souls. But to be men, to be manly men. But men that are manly are tough and tender. Amen? And it is going to require that for us to see this nation turn around. But even more so, it is going to require us to be men of prayer. God has shown His mercy and His grace upon this nation 4 times in the life of this nation. He has poured out revival and spiritual awakening in the early 1700s and what we call the First Great Awakening. God poured out revival and spiritual awakening in the Second Great Awakening in the early 1800s. And in the middle 1800s, He sent the Layman's Prayer Revival that swept this country and changed the moral and spiritual fiber of this land. And then in the early 1900s, God did the same thing. The decade, what we call the Decade of Awakening, swept this country and other countries around the world. And God moved. And the result of that was that individuals' lives were transformed. People were converted to Christ by the thousands and hundreds of thousands in each of these awakenings. And the moral and spiritual fiber of the home was changed because of it. But each of these awakenings all began with God's people on their knees. They recognized that there was something drastically wrong. They began to seek the face of God. In each of these awakenings, men began to take leadership in these times of prayer. And also, God heard the cries of these men. And men, as we look at this day and this hour, it's been over 100 years since we've seen God pour out His Spirit in revival and spiritual awakening in this country. And I believe that one of the greatest things that we can do as men in the life of the church and men in our families is that we can leave a legacy of prayer, a legacy that will touch the generations to come. Because our hope in the days to come and the hope for this nation is not found in the political realm, you know that, or the social realm, it is found only in God our Father. Amen? And if we are going to see this nation be a nation once again under God, it is going to take men providing leadership in the churches, in their homes, and crying out to God together and seeking His face and turning from their wicked ways so that He can truly hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Dads, it's got to start with you and me. And today I want to challenge you with regard to prayer that leaves a legacy in the lives of your families. So turn with me to John chapter 17, if you will. John chapter 17, and we're going to look at this great prayer in the next 20 minutes or so and the things that Jesus prayed for His disciples, because I believe with all my heart that Jesus, as He prayed way beyond the present generation. He prayed way beyond the lives of his disciples. And he began to look down through the ages at the lives of his followers. And he invested in their lives as he bowed the knee in this great high priestly prayer. This prayer is found in the, if you will, the farewell discourses of Jesus, John chapters 13 through 17. In the farewell discourses of Jesus, Jesus is seeking to do a couple of things. Number one, Jesus is seeking to, if you will, say farewell. He is seeking to prepare his disciples for his departure. And we have great texts that tell us that, and we've all been comforted by John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have what? Told you, right? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus here is preparing them, if you will, for his departure. But secondly, and more importantly, Jesus is preparing his disciples and his followers for their mission. And he teaches them in the farewell discourses about the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of relationship, being attached to the vine, that they have to be attached to him and walk with him if they are ever going to bear fruit as his followers, and that they must depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit as they are on mission with him. And then in chapter 17, Jesus does what we call prayer preparation for the mission. He prepares the way for them to be on mission with him and for him through prayer. And in John 17, there are three sections, if you will. Very quickly, section one, Jesus, if you will, prays about his mission. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus prays for his mission to be fulfilled. And he prays a number of things there. He focuses mainly, though, on the Father and the coming of the kingdom of God and what the Father is about to accomplish through his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. The second section is verses 6 through 19. Jesus prays specifically, some very specific character kind of prayers for his followers. He knew that their character was important. And he knew if they were going to make a difference in the world around them, they were going to have to walk in his character. And so he prayed three things there, if you will. Verse 11, he prayed that they would be kept in his name. Verse 15, he prayed that they would be kept from the evil one. And verse 17, he prayed that they would be set apart in the truth of God. All of these point toward their character in him. And then he prayed two things in the last section. In the last section, he is praying, if you will, for their mission as they would follow him, walk with him, and make a difference in the lives of people down through the ages. But it's interesting here that in verse 20, Jesus is praying not just for his followers, but for all those who will believe through their witness down through the ages. So in essence, who's he praying for? He's praying for us. He's praying for the generations to come. Jesus is looking in long-range prayer, if you will, and he is praying down through the ages for what only the Father can do. And it's interesting here, then, that we have five things that Jesus prays for his followers. And today I want to challenge you as dads and also as individual believers to think about the prayer legacy that you are leaving and how you are praying for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and for those around you, the young people in this church, and how you are making a difference, not just in their lives, but in the lives of the people that will come to know Christ through their witness and their lives of holiness in this world. And so I'm going to challenge you here to take these prayers and to pray them, to begin praying them in your life for those around you as they apply. In verse 11 then, Jesus begins this, this season of prayer, in the second section of this great prayer, he begins to pray specifically into the hearts of his followers. Notice what he prays. He says, I am no longer in the world. He says, but I come and I pray, keep them in my name. He is praying toward keeping them in his character, in his name, in who he is. That little word to keep means to guard. It means to guard in such a way that you are not just guarding against something. You're guarding and keeping some close. Something close in intimacy and in fellowship in your life. And so Jesus here is asking the Father on behalf of his followers. By the way, these individuals will be the individuals to take the gospel to the world. If their mission is not accomplished, then the mission does not move forward. And so he prays, Father, keep them in me. Keep them in my name. Keep them in who I am, my character, so that when they are out in the world, they've been in close intimacy with me. They themselves will shine the light of Jesus Christ through their lives. It is Christ who they need to make known to the nations. Not themselves, but Jesus the Christ. And so, that's only going to happen in the lives of people as they are in intimacy and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so he knew this. If the pagan world was going to be reached, they had to proclaim Christ. And they would do it not just in word, but also in deed. They would do it through their lives as they mimicked, if you will, as they lived their life for Jesus Christ in the world. And so, that's the first challenge. May we be challenged to pray this kind of prayer in the lives of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, in the lives of others around us. May we be challenged to pray that their character would truly be Christ-like. Now, I have served our denomination now for almost 17 years in the area of prayer. Before coming to North Carolina, I was with the North American Mission Board for 7 years. And I can tell you that most of our praying in our churches is not about spiritual matters. Most of our praying is about the physical and felt needs of people. And we need to pray for one another. But most of our praying is also about us. It's not about what God wants to do in and through people's lives. And I want to challenge you here to think about how you're praying for those believers, how are you praying for those family members? Don't just pray for the, if you will, the temporal things in their lives. Begin to pray toward the spiritual life, toward what God wants to do in them and through them, through his character that he unleashes in their lives and through their lives to impact the lost in a dying world. Now, secondly, here, Jesus prays for protection from the evil one. Verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now notice, if you will, the focus here. In verse 11, it was keep them in, like a mother hen will keep them close in intimacy as she wraps them up in their wings. But here in verse 15, it is keep them from. We are involved in a spiritual battle. You know that? Spiritual warfare is real. The enemy is on the prowl. When you begin to look in Scripture just in a cursory way, and you look at the names of the enemy, the devil, you will see that he's a roaring lion, and he's seeking to devour all that he can. You will see that truly he's the red dragon of Revelation 12. And the reason he's red is because he gobbles up the saints. You will see that he's a thief and he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oftentimes our prayers for protection are that we might have traveling mercies. And I believe in traveling mercies because I travel all over this state. But believe me, we've got to get more serious in our praying about praying for the protection of each other as Christians from the evil one. and from his wiles and his temptations and his ways, because he is seeking to destroy the witness of Christians in this world. We desperately need Christians to shine the light of Christ. And they will not, apart from the heartfelt prayers of dads and moms and Christians praying for one another. We are dependent, brothers and sisters, on God and his holy protection. Just like we are dependent on his grace to save us, we are dependent upon his grace to keep us from the evil one. But you notice here that as Jesus is praying this, that he prays, if you will, this simple prayer, keep them from the evil one. Now, he knew that it was the evil one who was out to destroy his witnesses. In fact, this prayer is so key that he teaches us to pray this in Matthew chapter 6. Remember the model prayer? Do you remember that? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed what? Be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. I was with a pastor of a large church in the middle part of our state a year or so ago. He called and asked me if I'd just come by and sit down and talk with him in his study. I told him I would, and I did. And he looked at me and he said, last week I walked down the corridor of the morgue with a dad to identify two of his teenage daughters who've been killed in a car wreck. He said, what's tragic is this dad was on my worship team, and he said his daughters were in the youth group. And he said they were out partying with other young people. And they and another young lady were killed in a car wreck early, early in the morning. As we talked, tears ran down his cheek because he said, what can we do? What can we do as a church to help? And I looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you something. How are you praying for your people? How are you praying for your young people? What is it that you are praying for them about? And he kind of dropped his head. And he told me, he said, not a whole lot, nothing in an organized way, but I'm sure parents are praying for their children. I said, well, I said, it's interesting in John 17 that Jesus prayed for his disciples and their protection from the evil one. Now, we all know that tragedies take place. We all know that accidents take place. But what Jesus is speaking to here is a very important issue in the lives of his people, and especially in the lives of dads. Dads, you need to be faithful to pray for the protection of your children, not just physically, but spiritually. Because if the enemy can, he will do everything within his power to tear down their witness, to put them in a position to where they will make wrong decisions and bad decisions, so that he ultimately, remember, he's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's out to do in the lives of your children and mine. Jesus knew that. And we can't impact lostness if the light's not shining bright? Darkness flees, but it only flees when the light is shining. Hence the great need for Christians, dads, parents, grandparents, to pray for holy protection from the Father in their lives of those around them. But then thirdly, he prays, set them apart in the truth, for thy word is truth. You see, Jesus here knew that it was about the heart. It was about the inner man, because, you see, the being of the gospel affects the doing of the gospel and the telling of the gospel. If the being isn't right, the doing and the telling will not be right. As the people of God, we must pray for that sanctifying work of the Spirit of Christ in people's lives. Because, you see, what Jesus knew was that these men had to walk in godliness and holiness. Their focus had to be upon the Father and not on the world. They had to have their hearts right if they were going to impact lostness. And so it is with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. If they are going to impact lostness, their hearts must be set firmly upon Jesus. They must be godly and holy and set apart in His grace and in His truth, for His word is truth. We will never, ever reach this community. We will never, ever reach this nation. We will never, ever see revival and awakening come until God's people are set apart anew and afresh in God's truth, the truth of His holy word. You see, Jesus here is praying toward the sanctification of God's people, the setting apart of God's people. And He knew. He knew that it's only through that setting apart that His followers would be able to withstand the temptations and the wiles in a pagan culture. You know what Christian demographers are telling us? They're telling us that the church is looking more like the world in which it's trying to reach. Not just in our behavior. Not just in, and he's not speaking of the outward signs. They're not talking about that. What they're talking about is not just the behavior, but the beliefs. See, Christians will believe right when their hearts are right. And that's what Jesus is praying toward, that they would be set apart in the truth, that the truth of God would permeate their lives day in and day out, and that their little decisions would be truly transformed by the wisdom of God that they find in the living Word of God. And so we've got to pray toward that kind of setting apart of our families, our children and grandchildren. It's a great challenge in our lives for this to take place. But I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that God is seeking like never before dads who will pay the price, not just in their jobs, not just out there taking their children fishing and hunting, and not just with their children around the table, but dads who will pay the price on their knees for the sake of the spiritual life of their children, that their children would be set apart in the truth of God. Now, Jesus continues here, and I know we need to quit here in just a moment. But he says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone. The third section, he says, I pray for those who will believe through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The world is going to believe that the Father sent the Son when his people are one. We need to pray for oneness in the hearts of our children and grandchildren, that they would look at the body of Christ, and they would be one in the body of Christ with Jesus the Christ, so that they would not only be in fellowship and intimacy and in step with Jesus, but that they would be in fellowship and in intimacy and in step with the body of Christ, so that they truly can join hearts and join arms together, not just now, but in the future, to take the gospel to the world. You see, Jesus understood that oneness. Oneness begins with him, and it spreads to his people. If we're not one with him, we'll never be one with one another as the people of God. The same is true in families. If we're not one with Christ, we will not be one with our families. And so that important principle of oneness has to be prayed into the hearts of the people of God, into the lives of our children and grandchildren. We must get serious about this, that they would not be at odds with one another or at odds with their God, but they would be one with him and one with one another to take the gospel in the generations to come to the nations. And then finally, verse 24, the fifth thing that Jesus prays, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. It is this whole element of beholding. It's an interesting term in the New Testament. It means to suddenly come upon you. It is like that wave that catches you in the surf that you didn't see coming. It puts you on your face. It doesn't matter if you're a 300-pound weightlifter or if you're a 60-pound biker. Well, I don't know about 60 pounds, but a 160-pound biker. It doesn't matter. That wave suddenly comes upon you, and it sweeps you off your feet into the foam and carries you to the shore. The Lord here is demonstrating that his glory can be beheld by his people. It's a beautiful picture of God suddenly moving in the hearts of his people in such a way that they are transformed by his holy presence and the manifestation of his presence among them. And as that happens, they began to be a mighty army taking forth the message of the God who has revealed himself in this great glory to the world around them. Now, he says, though, in his prayer, notice this, I desire that they also whom you have given me, that they will be with me where I am. Now, we don't have the time to go into all that's there, but there are seven I am sayings in John's gospel, and I invite you to look them up and study them. He wants us with him as I am. It's a great, rich study. But he wants us with him, and that is his prayer. You see, Jesus teaches us something about praying for our children, our grandchildren, and those around us. He teaches us that it is about God and what God's doing. It's not about us. You know, oftentimes our praying, and you know it is true, is, God, will you be with us? God, will you bless us? God, will you just pour out yourself upon us? It's about us. But here Jesus does something a little different, doesn't he? Notice what he prays. Father, I pray that they will be with me where I am. It's the exact opposite. And so we must pray for our children and grandchildren and those around us as Christians that they will be with Jesus where he is so that they might behold his glory. Maybe one of the reasons we're not seeing the glory of God is because we are not with him. We've invited him to come be with us, but he's saying, no, you come be with me and you will see my glory. My youngest girl, and I'll close, is in Senegal, Dakar, Senegal. We're grateful for cases on phones, aren't we? She's been there since October. Before she left, I gave her a little packet of prayers that I'd be praying for her. I told her that I was taking one of the verses of John 17 each month that she was gone. And that would be the focus of my prayer. She comes home in July, and she and her team have been on ministering on a campus of 70,000 students that are lost, Muslim background. The city and the nation there is 99.99% lost. That's pretty lost, isn't it? And they are lights in the darkness, believe me. We had the privilege of going over there in March. And believe me, there is such a desperate need for Jesus in that Muslim-dominated country. The darkness prevails. But a little light is shining. And that light, I believe, is growing stronger. But I told her, I said, I'm going to pray. And this month in June is John 17:24. And I thought I would give you a little practical application here and how I prayed and applied this prayer in the life of my Hillary. My sweet Hill, I pray this month that you will walk daily in perfect step with Jesus, that you will be with him in relationship, in intimacy, that is very sweet and precious. I pray that you will be with Jesus in your peace and in your security, in his promise of eternal life. I pray you'll be with Jesus in his mission, so that you and your team can see his powerful manifest presence at work as you join him in his mission. May you see fruit in people's lives, and may you see him do great things that only he can do through your life as you are with him. I love you, Hill. Love, Daddy. You know, more than ever, if we're going to see revival and awakening come, dads, we're going to have to pray into the hearts and lives of our children. A spiritual life. We're going to have to focus on what matters to Jesus in our praying. You know that? These days are very critical. I can't say that enough to you here today as a church. We have a window of opportunity to impact the generations to come. And dads, it's got to start with us. We're the spiritual leaders. God's given us that responsibility, And whether we like it or not, or want it or not, it is upon our shoulders. And we must rise to that challenge today. And that begins, that rising begins by falling straight to our knees and asking of Jesus on behalf of our children, our grandchildren, and others these great prayers that Jesus prayed for his people down through the ages. And by the way, you say, well, do those prayers work? Well, I say, just look around you. We're living evidence that those prayers work. Amen? May God help us to be the dads. That's my prayer, to be the dads that he wants us to be. The granddads. The Christians who will truly invest in the lives of others, not just by doing things, but by asking of the Father on our knees. Let's pray together. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for your word today. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And we ask of you today that you will bear fruit for your kingdom, that suddenly there will be a mighty rushing of your spirit among your people as you answer the heartfelt prayers and cries of dads all over this nation who are seeking you on behalf of the spiritual lives of their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and other people around them. Oh, Father, we ask, teach us to pray in a manner that's pleasing to you. We love you and we thank you. And we give you praise today for your holy word. May it bear fruit in our hearts, we pray. And all God's people said,